Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue through the night tonight. All right, looking ahead to the weekend of college football, a lot of championship games and conferences, other teams closing out the regular season. So we bring in Brock Murphy from Lindy Sports to go over the games over the weekend. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you?
Good, good. All right, let's start in the SEC where Alabama is taking on Florida. And I don't expect the Gators to put up much of a fight against Alabama. But when you see this game, is there any chance Florida can do anything offensively against this Alabama defense?
Well, yeah, right. There's the line of scrimmage that people are going to be focused on. I'll tell you this. You didn't ask about the Florida defense, and it is a good, solid unit. They do have cornerbacks who can lock folks down. They do have the ability to control and do good things on the line of scrimmage. So I think that's important for us to realize as we go over to the other side. Yeah, I think it's a mismatch, Alabama's defense versus that Florida offense. But I think Florida's defense is going to keep this thing kind of close. And if, the Alabama offense gets a little bit sloppy, I don't think this is going to be the blowout that some people are thinking it's going to be. I think Florida's going to hang in there. Their defense keeps them in game. But ultimately, I think their inability to really move the football against Alabama's defense will make a difference in the late third quarter, fourth quarter, might be 10 points or so. But I think this is going to be closer than people think for quite a while.
No one has been able to stop Derrick Henry, but if Florida was able to somewhat neutralize him in this game, what is Alabama's offense outside of Henry? Is it very threatening or is it just ordinary?
Well, and there you go, right? I mean, there's the beauty of Florida having a Vernon Hargraves, a really good defensive backfield, but particularly at the corners where they can lock down Alabama's top two receivers who are, they're good players. They haven't had to tote the load. They don't have an Amari Cooper this year, and Cooper certainly I think as we go to the air, an average quarterback, certainly not one that you would put among the nation's elite in terms of being able to carry a team and through the air. So when you have that ability, then you free up those other nine guys to do some pretty important things, to do things like stop a Derrick Henry. What you've seen from Alabama is they do get a little bit multiple, but they tend to be kind of that frying pan to the face. And by the third quarter, things finally start to crumble with respect to a defensive wall. But Florida, I think, has the horses to be able to hang in there and trade blows. So, with those two guys at the corner, I wouldn't say that it's a foregone conclusion that Henry's going to have another spectacular game. Certainly for Florida, you got to sell out against that run and you've got to make Coker beat them. Maybe he does it. They really haven't had the need to go to the air and really test those wide receivers. So this might be the game when we find out the answer to that very question.
Again, Brock Murphy joins us from Lindy Sports as we go over the games this weekend. A lot of championship games in the conferences and including the ACC. Here's Clemson, who has been going through the whole season and getting games, emotional wins against Notre Dame and Florida State. But here's this North Carolina team that a lot of people weren't really paying attention to. And they've got this dynamic offense now, and now they're in the top 10. So the natural wonder is this team now capable of being able to upset the Clemson Tigers? How do you see this North Carolina team in relation to what Clemson's done this year?
Yeah, I think the most dangerous thing about North Carolina is they got one loss this year. They have talent in a lot of different places. They short of this defense, but to me, the most dangerous thing about them is they've got nothing to lose. This is a team literally riding a whole bunch of momentum going into this game. They can lay it all on the line. Nobody's expecting anything from them, so they can play the underdog role. They can pound their chest and say, give me my respect, and go out there and what we're finding out is it was a defense that underperformed in the last couple of seasons, but certainly with Chizik, what we found is, given some discipline, given some gap control, given the right kind of leadership, they had the material in place, and it's the kind of material that you have expected out of North Carolina. This is a team that we tend to forget made its mark on defense. Your Marvin Austins came out of there. I mean, there's some great players that have come out of the defensive front seven at North Carolina. The material's in place, and now we go to Marquise Williams. He's an upperclassman. He's able to do a lot of things with his feet and go through the air. They've got some dangerous skill guys out there, Switzer among them. So I think that the most dangerous thing, really, honestly, is that they just go out there and lay it all on the line, and nobody expects anything from them. So Clemson better be prepared for a war, better be prepared defensively to get stretched out, better be prepared to play that 11-on-11 game with Williams and keep him under control, because if they want to ride the stock of their offense all the way through this championship game. I think North Carolina is going to get a few stops here and there, and I think they're going to score some points too. So this is one, again, I think this one could be very, very close.
And this is a team, not maybe not the best team they faced this season, Clemson, because they did play Notre Dame. But for Brett Venables and that defense, is this the best offense that they're going to play this year?
Oh, I think absolutely. You know, they've got the ability to do some things with the running back position where, you know, this is, again, it's not the most lethal set of running backs, but they're productive. You know, Williams is productive in and of himself, so that you can do your kind of option attack if you need to, your zone read, things like that. And then again, they've got some really dangerous guys on the outside. Some of them are small and shifty. Some of them are big guys that are going to go up and get the ball on third down and eight. So I think you can expect North Carolina to keep positive momentum, keep ahead of the chains. And I think they're going to do it often against this Clemson team. And I think you're right. I don't know that I can say that Clemson has faced this kind of an attack with that kind of personnel, and that includes Notre Dame.
Yeah, and this is going to be a good game, fun game to watch, because North Carolina, they score, and they have a very quick offense. They can definitely put some points on the board. All right, let's go to the Big Ten, where Iowa is taking on Michigan State. And I find this interesting because, look, Iowa was kind of this under-the-radar team for a while, and everyone's kind of wondering, who are the Hawkeyes? Where are they? Well, here they are at the end of the season playing for the Big Ten title. Michigan State, we've always known. We've always got a feeling for. When you look at the Spartans this season, is this the team that we kind of expected? And for Iowa, kind of the same question. Are we seeing what we thought we were going to get at the beginning of the season?
I don't think so. You know, in Michigan State, I think we expected that this is a team that's going to really kind of go through without much resistance the Big Ten. And this is a team that has won their share of games in the Big Ten, but they have all been with great resistance. You know, this isn't a team that's dominating opponents. It's a team that's surviving through games. And so, you know, look, champions win games. They figure out a way to win. And you got to give that to D'Antonio and his crew. Got to give it to Cook's leadership. But I think people expected a little more out of this offense. And I think people underestimated what they were going to lose when they lost their set of cornerbacks who could lock people down and free up the rest of the nine. I mean, defensively, I think people have been a lot more productive against that Spartan defense than had been expected, although when they've needed to in the big games, they've been able to put things together and stop drives. So, you know, with Iowa, again, this is a team that nobody expected anything out of. I think Ferentz has a special group of guys. They're lunchbox guys. I mean, this is a team that's not full of five-star folks. You know, you don't know the names of most of the people on this Iowa team, but they play really, really well together, and that's a dangerous combination because, again, they take this field And really, they're undefeated, but no one's expecting anything out of them. Don't believe they can win. So they lay it all on the line, too, with sort of a we've got nothing to lose attitude. Let's go, you know, get another win and stay undefeated. So I think for Iowa, again, a lunchbox approach. You know, we're going to try and stay ahead of the chains. I go back to where I said that with North Carolina. I think you're going to expect a little bit more out of that game to go backwards for a moment. So that you keep the Clemson offense on the sideline. And I think for Iowa, a little bit of the same thing. Just ground it out. Ground it out. You know, don't make your mistakes. And I think all these games really have a great opportunity to be very, very close games. And this one, I think, is going to be closer to 3 yards in a cloud of dust than any of the others.
Yeah, absolutely, with Iowa's running attack. But when you look at, you know, here's the thing. I hear people complain about Iowa saying, well, you know, they're not playing the toughest. They didn't get to play the toughest of schedules. But that doesn't mean you don't pass the eyeball test. That doesn't mean we can't watch you and see a top four team in the nation, right? I mean, it's 12-0 is 12-0.
No, I totally agree with you. And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they're Big Ten teams. So here's the problem. You know, if you have that argument against Iowa, then you got to have that argument against Ohio State. I mean, against Iowa, you got to have their argument against Ohio State and Michigan State and Michigan, right? I mean, it's the same conference. So it's funny how somehow that's got purchased as against one team, but somehow or another that doesn't resonate against the common opponents within that same conference. And I'm not sure I buy that. And you're right. I mean, for Iowa, all we can do, we said this against Boise State years ago. We said it against some of the other, non-power conference teams, that all I can do is go and beat everybody on my schedule. And I think for Iowa, it's just a story that's kind of charming because they're some of the last, they're among the last remaining undefeated. We have to now pay attention to them. And I think, you know, we use the term litmus test a lot in the beginning of the season when we see that teams are going to have to live out, you know, preseason expectations. Well, for Iowa, I think we really are. We're going to figure out what they're made of because finally this is a game where there should be some tension. Finally, it's a game where there is something on the line. I think they can go out there and play more loose because nobody expects anything out of them. But this is championship time, and if you're going to go undefeated and get into the playoffs, this is the first game that I think you'll see some of those players who have played kind of loose start to press.
The door is not completely closed on Stanford getting into the four. There's a little bit of light coming through in case chaos ensues with at least Clemson and Alabama. But they've got to go up against a USC team that's now led by Clay Helton as he now gets the job. In terms of where USC is heading and what he's been able to do, what do you like about where the Trojans are in this game against Stanford?
Well, you know, again, same kind of thing, right? I mean, this is a team that kind of had a rebirth in the middle of the season. I mean, we know that Sarkisian gets let go in the middle of the season, but we also know it wasn't one single event that led to that. I mean, we can just imagine what the locker room conditions were like, what the characteristics of that locker room were prior to all that. It had to have been chaotic within that team house and all that, and suddenly it's let loose and there's oxygen in the air Yeah, under Helton, all of a sudden, I think you've seen fundamentals come into place. I think you've seen a team come together. All that bad air got let out, and now I think they're breathing, and they're a dangerous team. Fantastic wide receivers, you know, good solid play out of the quarterback. Among the most talented running backs in the country. Maybe they don't have the biggest numbers, but they certainly have the capacity on any given play to break something and go to the house. And then, you know, good solid defenders as well. And when you look at Stanford, it's really interesting to break them down, right? If you look at McCaffrey, he's also the leading receiver on that team, and at that with only 37 catches this year. So that tells you a little bit about the passing attack for Stanford, which I think makes things a little more simple, if not necessarily easy, as USC prepares for them. Another interesting thing, USC leads the country or is among the nation's leaders in turnover margins. So they're doing things right on both sides of the ball. They're playing with discipline. Again, I think some of that is because of this new fresh oxygen. Stanford so far this year has produced only 11 turnovers, so it's not a kind of defense that gets really, really opportunistic. And I think in a game like this, if they play their typical performance and the defense doesn't get opportunistic, I think that Stanford's going to find themselves behind that turnover margin in this game. And I don't know that they're good enough to play a talented team as USC and get away with it. So I actually expect USC to win this one.
You know, I don't. When people talk about who they like and who they don't like in college football, I don't care if you don't like USC as a team, but you got to feel good for the seniors of this program. What they've gone through their time at Troy, Lane Kiffin, Ed Orgeron, Steve Sarkisian, and now Clay Helton. That is an incredible, difficult moment for seniors, and now they're in the championship game. So I give them all the credit in the world for four coaches during their time at USC, and now they're playing for a conference championship.
Oh, I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. And, you know, it's an opportunity for them for redemption and put a great punctuation mark on a chaotic time, and I think they're going to do it.
Brock Murphy, Lindy Sports on Yahoo Sports Radio as we go over the college football games. By the way, before we let you go, do you like Kirby Smart being hired at Georgia?
You know, it's a move that's been talked about for not just this season down here in this region. It's something that people have talked about. You know, Rick C has been hot for how long? You know,
forever.
Part of half a decade, and for the last few years, the talk's always been, well, I think Georgia's going to get Kirby Smart. I think they're going to get Kirby Smart. He's got ties to the school, so it makes sense. But for Georgia, you know, I don't know. This is a guy who certainly learned the process, but just as we've seen with Belichick and some of Saban's other staffers, it doesn't always translate into immediate profits as the first couple of years of a head coach. We've seen McElwain and what he's doing at Florida, but he went to Colorado State and took some lumps before he did that. And I don't know, for Georgia, for them to get away from Martin Rick and the personality and the character of who was in charge of that team and place it on the shoulders of Kirby Smart to come in and be the savior when he's got to just learn, how do I even be a head coach? Which means also he's got to give up some of the control of the defense that he wants to go in there and improve. You know, again, litmus test, it remains to be seen. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm there. He's going to ride that wave. But it's an interesting chair that he takes over. And while he doesn't take over the victorious percentage of a Bear Bryant, of a Joe Paterno, he does take over a gigantic vacuum that's left by Rick's departure. So I think that's going to be awful important, and I'm not sure who would come in there and be able to fill that in a satisfactory way.
We were talking about this yet last night. Scott Frost at Oregon, he goes to UCF, and UCF was winless in 2015. So he gets to go in there as a young coach, get his first time coaching job at a place that has got no expectations whatsoever. Kirby Smart is walking into the flames of the SEC as a head coach with a team that may have 10 wins when this is all done and just let their coach go. I can't imagine a harder, more difficult step to make than that.
I completely agree with you. He has the resources to keep the thing going. So if it doesn't go, I mean, really, it's going to be difficult to lay the blame for anything other than his inability to effectively lead as the head coach of a team that, like you said, won 10 games last year. You know, and going back to you at UCF, this was a team that at the beginning of the season, a lot of people had winning that entire division.
Yes, absolutely.
So there's some material in place there at UCF. Well, you know, a lot of bad things happened in that team house. And I think as we consider the USC and the oxygen that was given as all that bad air was let out, I think Frost walks into a pretty good situation in that conference.
I do, too. UCF's got some facilities, too. So, Brock Murphy, Lindy Sports, love you, man. Great talking to you. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Tony. Take care.
You got it. All right. Conference weekend coming up in college football. There's some other games that are out there. I know Texas is playing Baylor to close out the season and whatnot because there's no conference championship there. And there's some other ones around. I think Houston's in their conference championship in the American Athletic Conference. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number as we continue through the night talking some college football. We are going to get into some of the NFL as well as we hit into some critical games coming up. And I know with five games left, it's hard to say that, but there's got to be some teams that have got to get some separation. We'll look into that next on Yahoo Sports Radio.